Very good morning to each one today. Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers we have here this morning. You know, I think right here at Fifth Avenue Chapel, we have some terrific dads. I think we do, and we appreciate all that they do. Very thankful that we can honor dads today. You know, it's a very biblical thing. Scripture tells us, honor your fathers and your mothers. Mothers had their day last month, but today is the day for dads, and I trust that they all feel duly honored today. What a privilege it is, and what a responsibility it is that we're given to influence the next generation. And when you think that the influence we have on the next generation has that potential to influence the next generation and the next, this is an awesome responsibility. It's an awesome privilege that we have as well. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but kids don't really come with adult perspective. I love watching kids. I just love watching kids. They don't have the benefit of years of experience to know what to do and how to do it. I love watching toddlers in particular. You know, toddlers, they don't know what they don't know. They think they do. You know, they see a drawer, and they're big enough that they can grab the handles. And they, I'll pull and see what happens. And they pull it, and it falls on them, and you hear that word, uh-oh. Parents, that's probably the last word you want to hear, uh-oh. Kids just don't know what they don't know, and they're finding out the wrong way sometimes. Even right around here, I'll often hear some of our young parents saying, now listen, you have to listen to your father, listen to daddy. Or sometimes something like, now you must obey. And these are good instructions. Kids don't just naturally do this. They need to be told. I've never heard a kid say, oh, okay, dad, I'll do it your way. More often it's, I'm going to do what I want. This is the way kids, that's why I love watching other people's kids. I love watching other people's kids. I don't have to deal with that. But it's fun. Perspective. The right perspective takes time to develop, and it doesn't come automatically. This is Father's Day, and I would expect you are expecting a Father's Day message. And so knowing I was going to be doing this, I looked at Scripture and said, now, who should we talk about today? Which dads in the Bible? And we have plenty of dads in Scripture. We have some great dads. Remember a fellow by the name of Jairus? Just the passion he had for his ailing child. You know, we admire that. Moms and dads should have compassion and on their children and desire the very best, their well-being. And remember a fellow in the Old Testament, his name is Job. He's one of the oldest people we have in Scripture. Job would get up early in the morning, and he would pray for his 10 children. Yeah, 10 children. I think there were 7 sons and 3 daughters. He would pray for them, but going beyond praying for them, he would make sacrifices just in case. Just in case they might have sinned that day. Wow, what a dad he was. Then there's a few, well, let me see. In the New Testament, there's Joseph. New Testament Joseph. You know, he very sensitive to Mary's unusual situation and willing to take on the job of raising the Christ child. Wonderful man. But there's some poor examples, too. Remember a fellow by the name of Eli? Eli would have been all right, except he was so busy, even doing good things, that he never had time to discipline his sons. And there were problems. And then there was Jacob. Could have been good. He was good at some of the things he did, but yet he did something that wasn't too cool for a dad. He had favoritism. He had one son that he liked the best. And all the other kids were very much aware of that. And it caused a lot of envy and a lot of strife. So I'm thinking, no, who should I talk about today? And finally, in the end, I decided I was going to consider the very best example of all, and that is our Heavenly Father. You know, our earthly fathers give us our genetic makeup, but yet it's our Heavenly Father that is the source of all life. Scripture says that He knew us even before we were formed in the womb. In addition to being the source of our life, he is the one that we credit to that as the one who provides for us. Now, he might use our earthly dads, but ultimately it's the Lord that allows us to have what we have. He is our provider. It's our Heavenly Father that has expressed his love to us in such a wonderful way and providing for our greatest need, the need of a Savior. He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to die for us. He expressed his love. We sang about that this morning, didn't we? Why did he do this? Well, it was his boundless love. Our Heavenly Father is one who also disciplines us. Aren't we glad that he does? You know, at the time, I don't think we are. We don't want to be disciplined, but he doesn't want us to get too far astray. Therefore, he disciplines us with the idea of bringing us back to him. And we are thankful that he does that. And he is one that, and this is interesting, he has a divine perspective that we don't have. You know why? Because he is all-knowing. He knows everything. We don't. He's also all-powerful. He can do anything. We cannot. He's also ever-present. We are not. And with these qualities that he has a perspective that is so far different than ours. And almost like that two-year-old who doesn't know what he or she doesn't know, we go through life not really knowing what we don't know. But we have a Heavenly Father who does. And therefore, we need to listen to him. And that's my message this morning, listening to our Heavenly Father. You know, the Lord has many names in Scripture, but this Abba Father is one of the best. It's one of the best because it shows the intimacy. So often people will think of God, or in other religions, they think of their gods as someone who is just over there someplace and untouchable. Abba Father, there's an intimacy there that our Heavenly Father wants to have with us. And yes, we all need to listen, just like the dads here who will go to their two-year-old and say, "Now I want you to listen. This is what our Heavenly Father says to us. I want you to listen. I want you to listen to what I have to say to you." And we'll talk a little bit more about that. You know, the Father has only one son, the Lord Jesus, but he has many adopted children. All those who are born again because of their faith in the Lord Jesus, because of God's grace, they are the adopted children of God. And I trust that each one here this morning can say, "Yes, I'm part of God's family." In 1 John 3:1, we read, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." What a privilege it is to be in God's family and to be able to call him our Heavenly Father. Before we go any further into our consideration of how to listen to our Heavenly Father, I'm going to give you a little quiz. Ready for this? You all like quizzes? Okay, I'm going to tell you a little story. Okay, you're a bus driver. And on this bus, there are 36 passengers, and the bus is going west. And it stops after 2 miles, and 10 passengers get off. And then the bus turns north. After 4 miles, it stops again. 2 passengers get on, and the bus turns east. After 3 miles, the bus stops again. 5 passengers get off, and 4 get on. And then the bus turns south. And after 1 mile, 2 more passengers get on. Okay, the quiz. What is the bus driver's name? Anybody want to venture a guess?
Joe Kalyasra.
It's Joe Kalyasra. How did you know that? He's a good listener. My first thought was, you're the bus driver. So the answer would be, whatever your name is. And the second question would be, how old is the bus driver?
32.
32, you think? Okay. Okay, but it illustrates a point. Real communication is very complex, isn't it? More complex than we would think. Sometimes we catch some words, Some of you are probably busy thinking, okay, north, east, west, south. Three got on, and we add five, we take away two. You're thinking about some things, but totally ignoring other things that were said. We go through life this way, don't we? Our communication skills need to be worked on a little bit. We miss some very important things. Sometimes in conversation, we're nodding our head, but we don't have a clue of what's really being said, and you're hoping the person doesn't quiz you on it after. And then, but communication is so important to make relationships work. It's a life skill between parents and children, between husband and wife, between teachers and students, between bosses and their employees. You know, being listened to conveys love, it conveys respect, it concerns value, it concerns worth. It's important to develop our listening skills. Same thing is true listening to our Heavenly Father. No, it takes skills. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about it at all? Jesus said in Luke 8:16, so take care how you listen. Take care how you listen. And a little bit later in the passage, he says, he who has ears, let him hear. And of course, there is a difference between hearing and listening. You know, we hear a lot of things. We go into a store, we're hearing music. Are we listening to it? Not really, but we hear it. Conversations the same way. We can hear some of the things God says. Are we listening to it? That might be a little bit different. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do we hear the voice of our Heavenly Father? Just like the two-year-old, does he really hear the voice of his dad? Developing listening skills. This morning, yes, we consider this area of listening to God. That's the opposite of speaking to God. You know, I've heard a lot of messages on how to improve your prayer life, how to speak to God more effectively. I don't remember hearing too many sermons on how to listen to God, which is just the opposite. But they're both important, aren't they? We need to know how to speak to God. We have to know how to listen to God as well. Any kind of communication, it has to be in two different directions. And you know, one of the perks we have with our salvation, and there are many perks that come along with our salvation, and one of them is direct access into God's presence. It's a wonderful thing to be able to go before our Heavenly Father. We don't have to go through somebody else. We just go, Jesus is right there. He brings us to the Heavenly Father. And because of him, we have access. We can speak to him. We can listen to him. And that's a wonderful thing that we should never take for granted. The psalmist, Psalm 85, verse 8 says, I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants. You know, our Heavenly Father wants us to know him. He wants us to know him, and he wants us to know his purposes. I like what the Apostle Paul said. It's basically his life motto when he said, to know him and to make him known. We have to do the first before we can do the second. But his goal was to know him and then to make him known. That's a great motto for us to take as well. And he wants to know, and he wants us to know who we are in Christ. The fact that our eternal Father, our Heavenly Father, has an eternal plan, and we're part of it. We're not left to wonder, what is life all about? He spells it out for us. We can know what it's all about. 2 Timothy 1:9, we're told that we're saved with a holy calling. Have we determined what that calling is? And by the way, it might change at any given time. I know when I was growing up as a kid, I think every other message I heard was on how to know God's will for your life. Well, I figured, well, by the time you were 25, you knew what God's will for your life was, and then you could go on doing it. I'm still finding out God's will for my life. This is a lifelong experience, finding out what we're called to do. Are we listening to him? And are we finding out what he would have us to do? He also wants us to have an understanding of mankind, of ourselves and other people. We don't know fully who we are or what our purposes are until he has told us. You know, when we buy an appliance, we get an owner's manual, don't we? We can check the owner's manual to find out how does this thing work. Well, this is our owner's manual. And the Lord wants to tell us not only who he is, but he wants to tell us who we are and how other people are, so we can relate spiritual truths to them. Certainly, in summary, it's a most valuable lesson that we can learn how to listen to the Heavenly Father. How did God speak to people during biblical times? Interesting study. In the Old Testament, very interesting. Sometimes there is direct revelation. We read, and then the Lord God spoke to Abraham. I don't know exactly how that happened, but apparently the Lord God spoke to Abraham directly. And then there was Joseph and Daniel who were getting information from God through dreams. And then the written word, Ten Commandments, and the law was given. This is God's communication to his people. And then there are prophets who are appointed spokespeople who would come on the scene and say, "Thus saith the Lord." A prophet speaking on behalf of the Lord. There are, of course, four major prophets, 11 minor prophets that we read in Scripture, but there are other prophets that didn't have a book named after them. Remember Elijah and Elisha and Nathan, great men, and they spoke on behalf of the Lord. And then there are angels. The birth of the Lord Jesus was made known publicly by angelic proclamation. Mary found out what was going on because of an angel telling her. Joseph found out what was going on because an angel was telling him about it as well. And then we read, especially in the New Testament, God speaking through the Holy Spirit. We read that Paul had his plan, but the Holy Spirit forbid him to do what he was planning on doing and changed his direction completely. The Holy Spirit was speaking on behalf of God the Father. I'd like to read a passage with you. It's in 1 Samuel. If you would turn there with me, please. The book of 1 Samuel, and it's chapter 3. I'm going to read 10 verses. And it's a charming story, absolutely charming, about God the Father speaking to a young boy and how this young boy learned to hear the voice of the Father and to understand it. Starting with verse 1. Now the boy, Samuel, ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here I am." So he rose to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." And he went and laid down. Verse 6. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Verse 7. Now Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. That's in parenthesis. That's a little background for us to understand. Verse 8. Then the Lord called Samuel again. Now this is the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that it was the Lord who had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Interesting story and communication between the Heavenly Father and a young boy. We're told that the word of God was rare in those days. Why was it rare? Well, God certainly wanted to communicate, but you know, this was the time of the judges, and the people simply were not listening. They didn't recognize the voice of God. In fact, they didn't even want to hear from him. We read that the people were simply doing what was right in their own eyes. Sounds a little bit like today, doesn't it? People are doing what is right in their own eyes. But then we read that God called out to young Samuel. Why did he call out to Samuel? Well, number one, he wanted a relationship with him, just like he wants a relationship with each of us. And he had something for him to do. Kind of like today, the Lord has something he wants you to do, something that he wants me to do. And then he knew that Samuel, underneath it all, had a servant's heart. He didn't yet know the Lord, but he had the servant's heart, and he was ripe for doing great things for the Lord. Therefore, the Lord wanted to open communication with Samuel. But Samuel did not recognize God's voice. He thought it was Eli. Why is this? Well, he was young. He was inexperienced. This was something brand new. In other words, Samuel didn't know what he didn't know. Kind of like those two-year-olds. Kind of like us. There are times that, frankly, we just don't know what we don't know. He needed direction as to how to listen to God. And you know, so do our young ones. And this is part of the jobs of dads, Christian dads, showing the young ones how to listen to God and by example showing how you have done it yourself. There was no recognition of God's voice. Samuel, as a little guy, he was not even expecting God to speak to him. So he wasn't looking for it. He didn't recognize it. Same today. There are people who simply are not expecting a voice from God or any kind of communication from God. They're not looking for it. It never comes because they are unaware. He was a little bit confused. He thought the voice was Eli's. I know sometimes we're confused about the voices we hear as well. We're told to watch out for false prophets. The wrong voices are coming through. Sometimes we have to discern what is right. And sometimes there are many voices that are vying for attention. You know, the workplace, the home, the church, even the church. But yet he did not yet know the Lord. On the third call, Eli realized what was happening. Interestingly enough that Eli did not get what was happening early on. And we don't know why. He was a priest, a Hebrew priest, but apparently he was not as close to God himself as he should have been, and he didn't pick up what was going on until the third time. And then he realized this is God calling him. You know, that's a lesson here too. You know, we might have been away from the Lord for a while, but the Lord is still talking to us. He's still calling to us. We can always go back and listen and recognize that voice. And at last, it was revealed. And there was a response, a correct response, that Samuel needed to know what to do. And Eli tells him, just say this, "Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." And that was the key. That was the key to this young man that was going to set up his life, the foundation for his spiritual development, the foundation for his usefulness to God as time went on, being able to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." What a great response to the voice of God. Some good news. God is still speaking today. He's speaking today just as he spoke to Samuel. He wants to speak to each one of us. How does he speak today? This is a different day and age. He speaks through the Word of God. Do we treasure this book? This is God's message to us. We're told not to add anything to it. Don't take anything away. All that we're meant to know right now is in this book. This doesn't mean that's everything there is to know. I think there's going to be a lot of surprises in heaven, things that he hasn't revealed to us. Maybe we're just not ready to understand it. But things that we need for this life, he has revealed to us in this book. We live in a privileged time. We have the complete written word of God that we carry. It'd be interesting sometime to survey how many Bibles we have in our homes amongst us. I bet it's astronomical. We are living in such a privileged day and age. You know, a single passage or a single verse can speak to just what we're going through at the right time, if we allow it to. Do we allow the Lord to speak to us through His Word? Secondly, He speaks through Jesus. In Hebrews 1:1-2, we read, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Do we follow the teachings of Jesus? Do we follow the examples that we find in Him? Do we find the instructions, the encouragement, the warnings, the exhortations, the comfort, and all the challenges for this life? Do we find them in Jesus? Do we look for them in Jesus? If we're not looking, we're not going to find them, but we need to look. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit. Living within us, as was promised in the Gospels, John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. Living within, another perk of our salvation, the residency of the Holy Spirit, being able to lead us and guide us, and this should be a normal experience, not a supernatural experience. And then fourthly, godly counsel. You know, the Lord has put people in our lives, people in authority. There's a reason why we're told to honor our fathers and mothers, authority in our lives. We're told to honor and respect spiritual leaders put over us. You know, and I think that there is a reason for that. I think there are people around us, in our families, in our churches, people who pray for us, people who love us. God uses these people to say a word for Him as well. And we need to be alert and sensitive to hear their voice. Remember when Nathan went to David and he said those words, "You're the man." It really hit David, something he hadn't realized. You know, sometimes there's somebody around us who's able to just tell us the right thing and it's godly advice. We could be a Barnabas, encouraging somebody else, encouraging a younger person. I love our youth leaders here. I think they're very good at doing this, encouraging our young people, and that's great. And there's something else, too, that the Lord uses, circumstances. You know, the Lord sometimes shouts at us through circumstances. He's shouting. He brings us to a point where he's saying, I don't understand what's going on in my life, and He just drives us to Himself. Circumstances. Sometimes He slams doors. We think we know where we're going, and He slams a door. We can't do that. We don't like that, do we? But do we go back to the Lord and say, why, Lord, why have You done this? I know we have learned to accept it as well. Sometimes He shows us another open door that we didn't even know was there. It was there, and He points it out to us, and we can go through that door. Circumstances. Romans 8:28, we love to quote sometimes, and other times we ignore it. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Sometimes we just don't understand what's going on in our life. But you know, as I said before, we don't have divine perspective. We just don't get it. There are things that we don't know that we don't know that we don't know. But all things work together for good. And then God's peace. You know, we're told that He gives the peace that passes all understanding. There's something about that peace when all is right and all is in His will. And we have a peace about it that we can't really explain. And the Lord speaks even through that peace. On the opposite side, He disciplines us. He shakes up our lives a little bit. He wants to discipline us with the purpose of bringing us back to Him. And the last one I'm going to mention, and it sounds a little strange, when we're talking about listening to God, we can listen to God through praying to Him. Why? because we're staying focused on Him. When we're praying, we're staying focused on the Lord. We're asking to hear His voice. We're expecting a response. No, if we're not praying, these other things don't happen. And remember, it's a two-way conversation that determines a relationship. So I gave six suggestions as to how God speaks to us. Chances are, at any given time, it's going to be a combination of several of those. We're not going to do it, but we could have a great testimony meeting right now. We could share with each other how the Lord spoke to us at any given time, sometimes to move us out of our comfort zone, sometimes to do something for Him, or maybe sometimes it's not to do something. And He spoke through His word or through counsel of somebody else or the Holy Spirit's prompting to bring us to His counsel for us. He's going to say, in my own life, I can find things, a decision that needs to be made. And I thought I was going in one direction. But when I looked at all these different things, I realized the Lord's not in this. I had to go in another direction. Then another time when potential catastrophic things going on in my body, I thought, I don't know what to do. What is the Lord doing? And I was able to see the Lord's hand even in that. And then even more recently, going out of my comfort zone to do something that I never dreamed I would do. Interesting. But there are hindrances along the way as well. These are the things that we've talked about that would help us to listen to God, but there are a lot of hindrances along the way. Sometimes there are distractions all around us. You know, there are places to go and there are things to do. It's our busyness. We get so busy that we stop listening. We just don't have the time. We really want to. And while God sometimes shouts, He sometimes speaks in that still small voice. Be still and know that I am God. And sometimes we miss His voice simply because we're too busy. Sometimes we're hindered from hearing God's voice because we aren't even expecting to hear from Him. And therefore we don't listen. You know, sometimes we're looking right at something and we don't see it because we're not expecting. I could give lots of examples where I missed something just in view, right in front of me, because I wasn't looking for it. I was looking for something else, and it was right there. Sometimes we're not expecting. God says, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Sometimes there are many other voices seeking our attention. We need to discern the counterfeits, the false teachers. Today, just as in the time of Judges, people seem to do what is right in their own eyes. You know, God will never contradict what we find in His Word. If we find somebody giving us advice or some counsel, and it's contrary to something we find in God's Word, it's not of God. Simple as that. We need to discern the voices around us. Some of the voices around us, frankly, are time wasters. Some are just very insignificant. Some are destructive to God's purposes. We need to discern what is of God, what it is not. Sometimes it's our own disobedience to what God tells us. We want Him to speak, and we want Him to tell us what He wants, but we want to reserve the right to choose whether to obey it or not. Maybe not the best attitude to go to the Lord with. Sometimes we simply don't want to hear His voice. Well, the Lord's speaking to me, He may send me in a way I really don't want to go. Psalm 37:4, great verse. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of your heart. It doesn't say He's going to give you your heart's desire. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. Maybe we're desiring the wrong things. Let the Lord shape the desires of our heart. Today, there are men and women and boys and girls who have access to the spiritual truths. You know, to the unsaved, God is calling sinners to repentance. And the Holy Spirit seeks to guide the spiritually ignorant into the truth. You know, no one comes to the Lord except through the Holy Spirit, but they need to be ready to receive it. God is not willing that any should perish. He's speaking to the unsaved as well as to the saved. You know, in Luke chapter 8, I mentioned a couple of verses from there before. It's an explanation as to maybe why we miss some of the things that are available. It's a parable. A parable, you know what a parable is. That's a story, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In other words, it never really happened, but yet there's a message there for us. And this particular parable has to do with farming, sowing seeds. I know we're more city people here than we are farmers, but I think we all know that a farmer takes seeds and spread them around, and depending upon the shape of the soil, there's going to be a harvest of some kind, or maybe not. He talks about four different kinds of soils. There's the hardened footpath, the wayside, seeds on the wayside. There's no way that the seed is going to form roots, and it just blows away. And he talks about some seed being on rocky soil, seed that can't reach below where the rocks are. It goes down a little bit, but never gets any further. And then there's some soils that have thorns in it, and the seed starts to grow, but the thorns come and they crush the seed that's there. And then fourthly, there's some good ground, fully prepared and ready to receive the depth of the soil. That's an earthly story, but what is the heavenly meaning? Well, the seed is the Word of God. That's the constant. On all four of these soils, it's the same Word of God. And on the wayside, you know, where the person really isn't listening, the seed is sown in someone's life, but they're not listening. They're unmoved, they're untroubled, they're indifferent. Their minds are closed to the Word of God. The Word is heard, but yet it makes no difference whatsoever. I can think of a man who had a connection here at Fifth Avenue Chapel that was like this. I'd been in his home. I'd made phone calls with him. And he heard the Word of God and seemed on the surface, oh, okay, that sounds great. Never took. The Word of God, there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. That was the constant. The problem was the soil of his life was not prepared for receiving it. And then the rocks, you know, there are no roots. Maybe a little bit of focus at the beginning. Somebody hears the Word of God, and they start pretty well, but there's no follow-up. I remember a fellow who came here for a while, too, that was very much like that. In fact, I baptized him here. And he was so excited about being baptized. But not too long after that, he just went back to his old life. You know, it felt badly. But there is no real roots. We thought there were, but there were not. And then there are people who have thorns in their lives. They hear the Word of God as well. But there's the allurement of the world around. There's temptations, distractions, and they choke out the truth. People who really know it, and they could probably quote Scripture to you, but yet they've chosen to go a different path at some point. And then there's good soil. And we have lots of those stories too. We have lots of stories where a cultivated heart, very patient, very focused, prepared to listen to God, and they're prepared to mean business with Him. And they produce a great crop. I think of many people right here at Fifth Avenue Chapel. I can remember when they were first hearing the Word, and they have blossomed tremendously. Good soil on their lives. And that's what we want, good soil, so this seed can really grow. I'm just going to close with just a few very pointed suggestions that we do. Listening to the Heavenly Father, just like children need to listen to their earthly fathers for their perspective. We need the perspective of the Heavenly Father. Make it a high priority to pursue God, to listen to Him. You know, make it a purpose plan How are you going to listen to God the Father this week? And then take responsibility for the soil preparation in your life. You know, are you prepared for taking the Word of God and allowing it to produce the fruit that it needs to do, its purpose? Be teachable. Expect the Lord to teach you. Expect Him to. And then consider, maybe He's going to take you out of your comfort zone. Maybe He's going to do this. Maybe He's going to, and that's a good thing, but you need to be prepared for it. It's a good thing when He wants to take you out of your comfort zone and use Him there. And then developing your listening skills. Recognize the voice of God so that when you hear it, you simply respond, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." I trust that even during this week, you'll hear the voice of God and you'll simply say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and then we're just going to sing a little chorus. And then our time will be over today. I trust you have a great day today. Great day with dads. For many of us, I know our dads are not with us anymore. But we can think back to the influence that they had in our lives and be thankful for it. So let's close in a word of prayer. And then if our accompanist would come up, we're going to sing a little chorus in closing. Father, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for the fact that you tell us that you want a relationship with us. And we're thankful that you speak to the unsaved, that you want them to come in to the kingdom, that you want them to be part of your family. And we trust that many around here, you know, we're very conscious of our neighbors and our community. We want them to know who you are. And we pray that there would be those who would be brought into the kingdom because of listening to you. But we pray for each one here today that knows you, that our listening skills would be improved. Each one of us can improve our listening skills, that we'd be expecting you to speak, and that we would respond with that wonderful phrase, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," having a servant's heart. Just pray your blessing now on the rest of this day, the rest of this week, as we commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.